Radio City Legends with Williams BMW. Save up to £8,000 on a brand new delivery mileage BMW.
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
And a warm welcome to the show as always. It's 6.30. This is the Radio City Legends for a Monday. What a busy one we could predict for tonight. The Blues beaten at home. Goodness me, there were some faults there to uncover. I think Sharpie might have a thing or two to say about it all. Get your calls in to him. I know he's looking forward to it. 4720967. And Lauro's just come for a night off, basically. He's just come to hang around. He thought he'd just chill out in Aldo's chair for a little bit.
I was going to the gym.
There you go. He picks up his brew.
Well, he must be coming because I think looking at the celebrations, did you win the league title?
Hey! I think we did. We hit five, won the league. Yeah, it was all great. And just to show Aldo's support for you, Sharpie, he's in Dubai. Never sends a text message or anything. And then he sends a tweet. Good luck, Sharpie, tonight. Love Aldo from Dubai. Yeah. There you go. 0151 472 0967. The Blues taking an awful lot of the headlines from the weekend. I think it's probably the place to start. How do you feel, Sharpie?
It's a game you should have won. It's as simple as that. Well, listen, you don't win anything on paper, but coming into the game, yeah, you would be favourite. Swansea are struggling. But really, really disappointing. You know, and I thought the game was lost in the first half. There was no energy in the performance. Usually when you're at home, the first thing you say is, get after them. Yeah, make sure you impose yourself in the game. Everton didn't do that.
Dreadful start, wasn't it? No tempo.
They didn't impose themselves in the game. You know, and for the first 4 minutes, I think it was, or 5 minutes, Everton never had a touch of the ball. They just kept playing the ball at the back, nice and forward. And it turned out to Graham Stewart it was. And I said, this is like a practice game. The crowd were dead because they were waiting to see something. And Swansea just grew into the game. They got the goal. You know, comedy of errors for the goal. John Stones, Tim Howard. Everton get back into it. And you think, yeah, go on from there. Then we can see another silly goal. Second half was better. But you can't play just for 45 minutes. You can't play, especially at home. And against a team like Swansea who are struggling. That was a game that we threw away once again, and it's happening too many times.
He making another mistake then, the goalkeeper?
John Stones and Tim Howard. Stonesy could have cleared the ball again, but he waited and waited and rolled it back to Tim. I think Tim expected it first time around. He didn't, and when he played it second time around, he was on his heels. And then the boys nipped in between them, and he's caught him, penalty. Definite penalty, no arguments for that. But again, coming from silly mistakes. Mm. And it's just, I think the frustration from the fans is you see their team at home, they've got to give them something. They've got to be aggressive in the right manner. I don't mean going around kicking everybody, but aggressive and with a passion and say, okay, let's
Can we swap back fours? How long have we got on this programme?
Oh, goodness me. Yeah, dissect it.
So it was really, really disappointing.
Swansea would have expected Everton to be flying at them, to be obviously disappointed, saying, well, where is it? What's happening? So
Everton didn't show their brand of football. The fact that Mo Besic got taken off, I don't think really helped them, did it? Because I like Besic. Well, I think he's aggressive. He put an early shot in, you know, set the marker for the team. The rest of the team weren't really offering
Lukaku
anything, were they?
Bossed by Ashley Williams. De La Feu was non-existent first half, second half he got a little bit better. But no, never done enough. Okay, you can see the two injuries, Morales coming off as well, but, you know, no, not at all.
Well, it's funny, you said that the fans have to show something. The players have to show something for the fans to be showing something. And then the two of them work in unity.
Well, yeah, of course.
And it's a little bit, there's too much vitriol at Goodison Park at the moment. It's rubbing off on each other.
There is. Stones have got a lot of stick at the weekend.
Yeah, but if you don't start well, what do you expect? Yeah. You don't start well, haven't you? You're at home. Whatever you want to call it, your castle, the whole thing. But if you don't start, that's one thing about Liverpool. They do start well. Mm. After 20 minutes, it kind of faded a little bit. But at least, I think that's basically page one in the book. Start well, get the crowd with you.
Get after them.
Aye.
Is it not that obvious? Should it not just work that way when you're playing in your own quarter?
That's what I'm trying to say. It is, isn't it? It's just, come on. It's
But that's where, again, Laurel, you look at it and you're talking about leaders in your team. You get leaders in your team and you say, right, I tell you what, we're going to have it. You look at Liverpool to say, when Steven Gerrard was in the team,
that's what Liverpool done
when they got after people early on and are blown sides away. I don't think we've got that kind of character to say, right, let's get a grip of this, let's go and win this and let's go and do that. And I think, again, we said it time and time again in the show, too quiet, too nice. You know, and listen, unfortunately, you need to have aggression and a little bit of nastiness in you to win things. You can't be...
Well, the nice same. The Liverpool are exactly the same. I bemoan it every week. Mm. Same, and they come on at the end. Oh, well, you know, it's like, come on. Mm. For goodness sake. But we can't get them.
Yep.
You cannot get those players anymore. It's almost... Look at
Arsenal
yesterday.
You're not telling me they don't exist, Laura.
They're few and far between, Steve. Yeah. Few and far between. You know, that days of... When Keane was going to hammer Vieira in the tunnel, when was the last time you saw that? You've not seen it since. That they're just, whoa, it's like, you know, these guys are coming to steal our food away from us. Come on, let's stop them. It just doesn't happen.
Particularly in your centre-half position. I think the Premier League is sadly lacking those leaders, isn't it?
I think sadly lacking defenders. I don't know about anything else. I mean, crikey, Moreno at the weekend. I mean, he's cost us loads and loads of goals, you know. The thing is, we haven't got anybody else. And if you think, August the 31st, if you're sat in your office, you're Brendan Rodgers, and you're looking at your squad, surely, you know, when you get that little thing on the computer when it reminds you of something, oh, yeah, we need another left-back. We had one left-back going into the season, Moreno, and everybody knew, good going forward, can't defend. Joe Gomez is going to play left back. It's Liverpool. What is it?
But Laurel, you as a different. What was your job first and foremost?
Stop you scoring and playing. End of.
And then
the rest was a bonus.
Yeah, exactly. That's not the case.
And pick you up from Hansen pick you up from corners. But you know, it's that, the other thing. Did you see that? You might not see it. We play West Brom, and Olsen scores from a corner. Okay, and he's 6'4". Shan was marking him. Wasn't even looking at the ball. He was looking like, I'm looking at you now, Steve, and the ball was coming from behind me, from behind you. Honestly, seriously, it's frightening.
Before we get to our first caller, Chris, who's in Halewood, hang on there, Chris. Just a thought on Liverpool. Broken specs, jubilation at the end, but conceding, four at the end. Just, I mean, actually, stand back. It's not really what you want, is it, Laura?
No, but it was great because they won. Hallelujah. And did you hear what he said today with his new glasses? It was a great line, wasn't it?
No,
he said, I look like a serial killer. I mean, only you could get away with that. I thought it was fantastic. Been that on the BBC, they would have absolutely pooped themselves. But the thing... But it's like anything. I think what we saw on Saturday was what he knew after a week. Nothing's changed. It's still the same. Get the ball down, go forward, press people. We've got some decent players. He knew that after a week. Defensively, ball comes in the box, anybody can win it. You know, I mean, look at the fourth goal we conceded alone. We've got it to 4-3 last minute. And the ball came in the box, so two centre-backs backed off into the box. And you're saying, come and edit, or at least challenge. I don't know, I mean, I'm told he's got a German centre-back sorted, I'm told. I don't know who it is.
No names.
No names, no pack drill. But I think people can generally work it out. I've not even bothered to look, but I'm told that he's got that's one in, that's one done. So,
okay.
Hope he's got some mates.
Bacon bear.
he is 74 Sharpies.
Tin hat on Sharpie. Let's welcome Chris, who's in Halewood, to the show. Hi, Chris.
Morning. Good evening, gents.
Morning. Morning.
That's hangover. Yeah. Morning.
That's what Everton's done to you.
It's definitely a hangover from yesterday. To be honest, gents, myself and a lot of Evertonians can't put the finger on what's going on. We've got the best squad of players we've had since your day, Sharpie. And have you seen Roberto's record? I think it's 11 wins in the last 51 games.
Yeah.
How's he still got his job? You know, for that squad of players, if we had the right man in charge, we've got so much talent. It's just heartbreaking when you go into the game and you just... He can't see it, the defence. I don't know what's going on in his head. Everyone's saying, you know, we need to sign a yard dog at the back, like a Shawcross. Someone to put, you know, his life on the line.
Yeah.
you know, it's just too nice. It's just too pretty. Again, for Gareth Barry, he's due.
Yeah.
He's been probably our best player this season, Graham.
Yeah.
You know, he's come out and said we are too soft. Mm. But why won't he change it, Graham?
Well, we're just saying, Chris, we just talked about it before and just say that, you know, it's unfortunately it's not. If you're a defender in our day, that was your job first and foremost. It wasn't about getting forward. It wasn't about, it was about defending. We've lost that. And I just think I agree with what you're saying. We're far too nice. We haven't got a nasty person. Besic goes around and makes tackles, and I think that's why the crowd have taken to him. But all round our team, we are too nice. We are too nice. The manager is a fantastic guy kind of thing, but a nice guy as well. And I think the team, you know, are like him. You know, too nice.
Reflect the manager.
Too nice at times. I would rather us... Listen, I don't want to go back to...
Evans, he'll be all right for you, sure.
Exactly. But go back to the times when, you know, 1-0 and Moyes was scraping games. But I tell you what, he won games 1-0 because if they scored and Nick, he defended. Now, I'm not saying we necessarily have to do that, but we have to have more of a bit of devil in us. How can we not go out on Saturday and start the game and say, right, let's go on the front foot here, let's put them under pressure? We allow them to come in and dictate the flow of the game, and that's a worrying thing for me, that we can't dictate games, especially at home.
I totally agree, Graham. And do you know what? Distan, I know he couldn't play the ball and things like that, but he'd rose-head it, mate.
Yeah.
He'd go through anyone, you know. He's a big, strong boy. He'd win every header. He'd smash people. People didn't like him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he'd rose-head it. And you have to rose-head it sometimes, mate.
Well, Chris, what you get, you know, managers, you know, prefer a certain type of player, and that always happens. That's always happened. That has always been the case. But, you know, obviously, he's got Stones in there. He likes to play from the back. The boy Morey as well. But sometimes, and I'm not saying... Sometimes it doesn't allow itself for that. Sometimes you have got to kick it in the rosehead. Sometimes you've just got to... We went on a run last year, and I keep saying this to everybody, we went on a run last year, and I remember being at the game at QPR, and we got battered, to be fair. QPR were fighting for their lives, and we won 2-1. How we won it, I don't know, but what we did do was we defended, and we kicked everything that came in the box, and we kicked it clear and hoofed it clear, and we got a result, and we went on from there. At this moment in time, I'm more worried. Okay, the semi-final, take that or leave it. Of course, we want to win it. And then the Carlisle game. But the massive game for us is going to be Newcastle, our next Premier League game at home. You know, and people say, again, on paper, you should win that. I ain't so sure. And that, to me, is when it's going to be... We talk about pressure playing at Goodison, things aren't going well. I tell you what, if that game comes around, that is a massive game for Everton.
Chris, can I just say this? I'm not being disrespectful. I look at Everton, and I'm thinking Wigan with much better players.
Lotto, it's totally right there, mate. And do you know what, Lotto? Unfortunately, if we finish below mid-table, which it looks like we're going to because Roberto is just taking us that way, he did last year, we're going to lose our gems, your Lukaku, your Stones, your Barkley.
You might lose them anyway, mate, might you, I'm afraid.
We're going to lose them, and then we're back to square one. You know, we've got no money. You know, we rely on the youth. You know, we took a gamble on Lukaku, and it's paid off, and well done for the board, you know, to sanction that deal.
Sure.
You know, Moisey got Stones in, you know, absolutely, you know, and he'll earn us a lot of money. But we're going to be back to square one. We're going to be back to the squad that... Walter Smith inherited.
And then you're also, you just feel like it's a season wasted, don't you?
Mm. Oh, totally, lads.
Well, it could be more than a season, couldn't it? I mean, we're talking about a great young generation, aren't we? Chris, how much faith have you got in your manager?
None.
Really, that bad?
Yeah. He's
even if he wins on Wednesday and you end up at Wembley?
Yeah. I mean, if he wins on Wednesday, it's a saving grace, and he'll get another contract or whatever, and he'll be there next year. Mm. You know, we've been going, you know, a lot of people, not David Moyes, and I was very pro of David Moyes, and I was always on it, backing David Moyes over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, what he had was stability. You know, the back four, that was his priority. We were so hard to score against. No one wanted to come to Goodison Park. Mm. It's all right playing all this flowing football, but if you can't defend, and like Lotto said, we are a better Wigan. That's all we are at the moment.
Would you take Moyes back?
I wouldn't step back, no.
No, okay.
No, I would look for someone like a Jurgen Klinsmann. I really would.
Yeah. Okay, good point.
Two Germans in charge of Merseyside teams. Yeah.
That would be interesting. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Chris. Have a great night.
Cheers, Chris.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
I mean, that's the thing. You know, people talk about Moyes. You know, then Moyes had a lot of detractors because he said... oh, the football was, oh, wasn't the best to watch, kind of thing. Yeah, we nicked 1-0 wins and all that, kind of, but the football was poor. Mm. Oh, he's been here long enough, let's get rid. Then Martinez has went the other way and playing attractive football but not winning. And that doesn't go down well as well. So we need something to get the manager.
But you know the other thing? The other thing with Morrissey, and I'm, you know, I'm his mate, but the other thing for me is, crikey, has he made you some money and turned average players into top players, by the way? Frightening.
Well, he set the foundation for where the club is now, interestingly, isn't it? Yeah. But actually, two ends of the scale, and no one's happy with either.
Yeah. You two said that's football support.
Well, it is, isn't it? You two said one really interesting thing. How much do players perform in the mould of their managers? And you obviously play for different sort of managers. How much does that that character impose on the players?
I don't know about necessarily that. I just think there's... And listen, everybody wants to play well, everybody wants to win, but some have more drive and determination than others. And it's getting a mix of that, you know. And I would like to think everybody that crosses that white line wants to do the best they possibly can and wants to play for their manager. And I'm not saying that people are not playing for the manager, but sometimes... Sometimes you need a direction from your manager to say...
But look at your team, Sharpie, the 80s. Look at all the characters that you had.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere, all over the pitch. And the clever thing that Howard did was he knew that, but he also got really, really good players. Yeah. I'm not being funny, Steve. Sometimes you don't even need a manager when you've got that good a team. Yeah. And the clever thing for the manager is he stands back and goes, whoa, boys, on you go. Mm. You'll see Reedy sort it, Van den Hau, him up front.
Yeah, but occasionally Neville comes in when he's needed.
Absolutely. That's a really, really clever thing. But, we had Souness, frightening, but it's... That's actually knowing what you've got as a manager. Mm. And I think the thing with Martinez, I don't think players come in at half-time, and I don't think he points fingers or anything, which you don't have to do regularly because you'll lose them, but occasionally, Joe Fagan, the first time he ever did it in my time at Liverpool, oh my goodness me, it was unbelievable. Genial, gentle Joe kicked off one day. We'd been beaten at home. End of the 81 season.
I'll tell you what, Laura, because this is a good story, and we've got to hit the break at 47, so we'll continue with that one right after. We're going to go to a break. Laura's going to tell his Joe Fagan team talk story. Stay right there. It's Radio City Legends, 0151 4720967.
Radio City Legends with Williams BMW. Experts in motability. Search Williams BMW for their latest motability offers.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
6:52, Sharpie and Mark Lawrenson with myself, Steve Hothers. So we're here until 7:30. You want to get involved, 0151 472 0967. We're going to do Look Who's Scoring in just a moment's time. 3-3 between
it's
the two 3-3. Of them. 3-3.
No, you have to go back. That's wrong because I'm at least 4.
It's like an Arsenal-Liverpool game. You're at least 4?
Yeah.
No chance.
I'm surprised Aldo's got 1.
Exactly. Cheers, Waddle.
Hold on a minute.
Oh, 4-3, Sharpie, Dave, our producer, tells me. I'm not even sure Aldo has got one, has he?
Aldo gets him through default.
Yeah,
right.
I can make a badge you today, funny.
Dominic Mateo got one by default, I think, the other day, because you cheated, didn't you?
No, who did I?
You shouted out two names within one segment.
He got it right. He got the boy, the centre-back, Cavani.
Okay. We'll do this straight away. I'll give you the clues. Right, here we go. So, we're looking for a player here. I like the way Sharpie's ready to write everything down, but Laura's just going to store it up there. Yeah. He's going to put it in the back of his head.
I'm just watching your screen.
Former Everton player, born in 1967.
So he's 48.
Played 25 games for the Blues. Didn't score, despite being at Goodison for 3 years. One major honour to his name, and it wasn't won with Everton. All right, there's the first clues. I'm going to give you the second ones now. Represented his country 42 times, including a World Cup appearance, and he was signed by Joe Royal, sold by Walter Smith.
Hottinger.
No.
Fullback.
Well, wider than Mark.
Good shout, that.
Laura's going to have a little think about that one. We'll get onto that in a moment or two. It's a good one. Dave's dug deep to make this as difficult as is.
You mean he's been on Google?
Yeah.
Feasibly possible.
Dave equals Google. Yeah. He couldn't get me up from the car park, wasn't it?
It left you down in the basement, didn't he?
He was doing this question. That's what he was doing.
I said to Dave, do you know where Loro is? He said, I'll be fine.
I was at loading bay number 28.
Yeah, absolutely. I had to unload you. I think that was the problem.
Look,
look at Sharp. He's getting stuck into this straight away
doodling,
now.
He's doodling, man.
We've got a little bit of audio which we'll play at the start of the next part of the show, which might give you just a little bit more. We've talked a bit about Everton. Liverpool-wise, Firmino starting to come good for you, Loro. He's showing a little bit of those elements of
magic. Well, he's showing consistency.
Magic. Yeah.
I think, you know... The problem with him and Coutinho has been, and Lallana definitely, would be one week they could be top class. And then you get three or four games where they're average at best. So the average needs to come up a bit. But Firmino, my only worry now with him is when Coutinho comes back. Because Coutinho wants to play where Firmino is, there or thereabouts. So we're again back to three number 10s, aren't we? But, you know, we'll see. But I think the thing that the manager knows him, and obviously communicates in German with him. I think that's a big thing. And I think he's clever, the manager, when you've played well. I think he's your best mate. And I think that's, you know, new guys to the club, foreign country. I think that's what they need the first 6 months until they're kind of able to stand on their feet.
I don't think we've had enough players playing well. So actually, he's always going to turn to the ones, isn't he? And we've seen the gradual improvement from Firmino.
Yeah.
But he's showing that little bit of... He's showing the work rate that fans really want to see from a Liverpool and Everton player.
Fans will forgive anything, Steve, as long as you, week in, week out, give it absolutely you've got. Because you are, you know, you're their representative. And they'll forgive people who aren't particularly good, but just give... Because the fans look at it and think, that's how I would play. I might not have the ability, but, you know, I'm smashing into tackles, you're doing this, you're chasing back. And they love it. They don't ask a lot, do they?
No.
I expect you to come on and beat three people and smash them in the top corner. If you do, it's a bonus. They just ask every week, and that you've got this consistency, and you make it difficult for the opposition and stop them playing. It's quite handy, that.
Give us your Joe Fagan story. Tell us how the manager got the best out of a group.
I get there in August. They've won the European Cup, and we start off the season not particularly well, which wasn't unusual. And we got to Boxing Day, City at home, got beat 3-1, pitch was horrendous. Brucey chucked a couple in, not on purpose, chucked a couple in, and we came in the dressing room, we thought, oh, this isn't good. And it was that sharp, you imagine, when he was that silent. We were waiting for Bob Paisley to come in, because he's just upstairs, came in, he didn't say a lot, and then Joe just launched into, and Joe was like your mate. And Joe was, any problems or anything, and Joe just launched into this thing about everybody in the dressing room. But the really clever thing was, and it did peel the paint off the walls, was you actually thought it was you. He didn't name anybody. He just went, some people in this dressing room just aren't at it, and I'm not having it, and we'll get the whole thing. So straight away you think, does he mean me? Yeah. And I think that was really clever, because everyone thought, it's me. And then I think...
I've got to put my socks up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then we went and won the league, didn't we? I think we played Swans in the Cup the next match. He made five changes. Tosh was in charge of Swans. They were doing really well. Mm. We won 5-0. And I think we ended up winning the league.
That's amazing. Yeah. Can you imagine Roberto? And I'm not saying it has to be that way, but can he do that dressing room sort of drill down with a lot of them?
It's not like that now.
No, it's not.
And I've said this...
any manager?
I've said this in this programme before, and I listened...
You could do it via agent, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. I listen to
you.
Because they just look at you. They would just look at you as if you've got two heads.
Yeah.
And they just say, bothered. Thierry Henry said it on the television that his last time at the games at Arsenal, when he wasn't happy with some of the performances, he started shouting at players, and players looked at it as if to say,
so what?
And what's that going to do? So it doesn't work anymore. So it's not. Players are more likely to turn off than turn on if you're ranting and raving.
And then they get their agent ringing the manager. Really seriously, do.
Yeah. Do you not think there's that wrong impression given when, if a player just plays average these days, are they really given enough sort of direction by the manager that they played average? Do you know what I mean? If you'd come off and you played average, you'd get a proper sort of rundown, wouldn't you? From whether Howard, you would know yourself.
Yeah.
You do, but your manager also needs to tell you that, as Loro says.
Well, some do. But you put your hand up and go, whoa, boy, sorry, or whatever, and mistake and all that. Yeah. And
does that exist now?
No.
But that can't be a good thing, can it?
No, it's not. It's very. Thing about a dressing room is it's like 20 odd blokes full of testosterone. Mm. They just had this match and they're all whatever. Yeah. And you've got to give it to them sometimes. Mm. You really seriously have. But you've got to be very careful how many times you do it. The Klopfer will give it to them. You just know. Did you see his face when they made it 4-4 Norwich?
Yeah.
Mm. Whoa. So you know that he's got that. And I tell you,
they were getting the dressing down, weren't they?
I'd say they were getting the full.
But what you'll find now is within that Liverpool dressing room, right away you've got players who'll be like that. Not for me, this. Not for me, that. I'm telling you.
That's half the team.
Yeah, you see, not for me, this.
No.
Him shouting and bawling me and doing this and that, oh, that's not for me, I'm not sure about this.
Well, that'll root out the, you know, the proper lads from the...
Yeah. Well, it fills a questionnaire in for him, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is, you might only have two players left.
And it goes back to what you were saying before, Laura, about where are the proper staunch... Hard, sort of big characters within the Premier League as a whole.
Listen, we can go through here and we can have a show for 9 days and just talk. Football has changed. Yeah. You know, it has changed. Attitudes have changed. Players' attitudes have changed from when we played. Has it got any better? That's for people to decide. But certainly some of the things that you see, you look at and you go, I don't know if I'd happened.
And that's not being cynical, old pros. That's just... Did you hear Costa yesterday squeal when Mertesacker didn't touch him? I mean, come on. Mm. You know, good a player as he is, come on. It's like, get on with it.
If Hansen had done that next to you, what would you have done?
He wouldn't have gone down, Hansen, because he never got his kit, did he? Just folded up and give it the kit woman. I'll use that next week. You don't need to wash it.
Yeah. No sweat on it.
Nothing on it.
Before we get to a quick break, I just want to quickly praise both clubs. Obviously, with young George Shaw, everyone who went to Everton at the weekend saw George, 9-year-old boy, suffers from cerebral palsy, came on, went with his dad Dave and sister Olivia, met by the players, went out, everyone gave him a great reception. Lovely moment that, wasn't it, Sharpie?
Yeah, fabulous. Listen, it's the least they can do. Mm. You know, the supporters, you know, that's brilliant to see, but clubs should be doing more of that.
And tomorrow...
Players do that all the time, you know. Yeah. Unannounced, to Alder Hey and everything. Yeah. They just go and do it. And they honestly do not get enough praise to go and do that.
For some of the work they do. Tomorrow night, extremely sad story, this one. There's a flag on the Kop in tribute to young Owen McVeigh, who helped out with the flags. Owen passed away in December, and he used to go with his dad. His dad sent a message. Owen had leukemia. He was just 11 years old. Would have been 12 on the 31st of January. Owen's life, his big passion was Liverpool Football Club. They've got a big flag on the Kop tomorrow, and it's an absolute tearjerker. It's a picture of the back of his dad and Owen himself off to the match we go together. Mm-hmm. And that's great. That's the lads from Spion Kop 1906 who are putting that on tomorrow at Anfield. I'm sure many people will see it. And deepest condolences to Owen and the whole family.
I did a doco on that, Spion Kop.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was Dutch. It was spelt with a Y. It was like in the Boer, when the Brits fought the Boers in South Africa.
Oh, so the origin of the...
And it was actually Dulwich Arsenal who had the first Kop, and then they moved, didn't sort of take the Kop with them, and then at Anfield they dug loads of stuff up to build one of the things behind one of the stands or a great big hill, and that somebody came up with this idea that they're going to call it the Kop.
Mm. Knowledge.
Yeah.
Knowledge. In this corner, the red corner, knowledge.
Only because they sent me to the other doco.
Knowledge in this corner, wealth on this corner. Today you touched £79 billion, is that right?
I never touched it.
You didn't touch Bill Gates?
I didn't touch him. No, I was here at...
Sharp, is it dollars or pounds?
I don't know.
All right. Doesn't really matter.
I'd rather have it. No, but you came up to the training ground where George Osborne, so we're up there and we saw him come in.
And you said?
I didn't tap him, no.
You didn't tap him? Didn't talk to him?
No, I didn't tap him.
Didn't acknowledge him?
No, it was good. It was with Tim Howard. He was speaking to Tim Howard. Obviously, the connection. American connection there. But seemed a nice guy, yeah.
All right.
How was George's bonnet looking, all right?
Windy. Short break. Plenty of calls lined up for the next part of the show. 0151 4720967. It's the Radio City Legends.
Radio City Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale, and Stockport.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
OK, back to the calls a minute. 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. It's the Radio City Legends with Mark Lawrenson and Graham Sharp. We've had a couple of clues on Look Who's Scoring. Former Everton player, born 67. 25 games for the Blues, didn't score. He was at Goodison for 3 years. He's got a major honour to his name, but it wasn't won with Everton. Represented his country 42 times. Appeared at the World Cup. Signed by Joe Royal, sold by Walter Smith. And won promotion to the Premier League in 2001 after finishing top of the Championship. Anything? Ringing any bells?
He played 25 games.
Okay. It's not bad, 80, yeah?
Done all right. I think this is quite a list. Right, got a little bit of audio. What's this audio? Producer Dave, what does it represent, this audio? So I can plug it in. Ah, right. This is just him. This is his voice. I haven't heard this. So listen to this. Who is it?
It was great times, and we had a little bit of team spirit, and it was as if we was family all together. And if you wasn't brought into the family, you just left outside on the street kind of thing. You wasn't brought in, but it was great times, and obviously you played with some fantastic players, you know.
Look, it's an Oasis accent there.
Is it Terry Fielder?
Well done, Sharpie. Look at that. Look how happy that makes him, Laura.
25 games in 3 years. I didn't deserve that.
Well, apparently
too far to travel.
Yeah. What a Manc accent there. Yeah. Really busting out. Right, we're going to get some more of your calls on quickly, though, from the lads, first of all. League Cup semi-final week. Who's it more important for, Everton or Liverpool, this cup competition?
Both.
This season?
Both, yeah.
So it's an equal sort of value, weight.
We're not in Europe, are we? Well, certainly where we're playing at the moment, so yeah. And I think also, you might even say Martinez in line of his job, possibly. Mm. And Klopp, just to win something will be even more massive to bring everybody with him, I would say.
Okay. Mm. How are you feeling about it, Sharpie? Well, impossible job or not? Well, I mean, you played well at...
I tell you, you've got to play a lot better than what we did at the weekend, as simple as that. The first game we did well. I just said to Laurel, off here, I think we'll score against them. Mm. It's just how well we can defend. They're not playing great. My biggest worry is Aguero's coming into form now, and he's top draw. He's fantastic.
Well, I think Aguero's... Silva's back, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yo-Yo Toure, De Bruyne, might chuck Sterling in there as well, so good luck.
Ouch. OK, let's talk with John, who's an Everton fan in Highton. Welcome to the Legends, John.
Good evening, lads. You OK?
Hey, John.
All good, thanks.
I've been on the show a few times already. Remember, you always get exasperated with how angry I get with Martinez and that. And earlier on, when you first started the show, I think it was the first one, I said to Graham, the man's a clown, he's a tactical delinquent, and he's going to get us relegated. Mm. And I think everything I've said has come to fruition. He doesn't know what he's doing. You pick up every single paper now by all ex-professionals. I mean, Colin, whether you listen to him or not, and Stephen Hunt's had a go today. Every day there's an article saying what I've been saying for months. I've been saying it for years because I've never liked the man. Mm. He doesn't know what he's doing. He very rarely gets it right. And when he does, he's the first on the TV telling everyone how good he is. But when he's wrong, he's blaming the fans now, saying that the players don't want to play him in front of the fans. Well, I've got news for him. We've been there for 135 years. Mm. You know, it's what he's doing is absolutely wrong. Mm. He's got no plan B. And he's playing Ross Barkley. For me, a lot of people have got their own ideas about Ross Barkley. Mm. I like Ross Barkley picking the ball up and running from deep. Yeah. Everyone seems to think he's a number 10. Mm. He's 6'2" and about 15 stone. Every other number 10 in the world that's any good.
Small.
He's 5'4" and diminutive in size, but really quick feet. He's putting too much pressure on him. Let him run with the ball. Put it De La Feu, let him come in from the wing and do the little fancy dance because he's got a great pass on him as well. Mm. You know, well, he's playing Lukaku as a number 9. He couldn't control a squash ball, never mind a ball hitting him at 65 miles an hour. He needs the ball on the floor, round the back of the player to run onto, because he'll score your goals every game with the right service. Mm. And on Sunday against Swansea with Ashley Williams and Fernando, he didn't have a look in because every ball he got was to him instead of into a little bit of space where it gave him the chance to use his muscle and his strength. And I can't believe that even now, after what he said, he's still got a job. Mm.
John, what do you think? You looked at it, I wouldn't say it was a tale of two halves, but certainly got better second half because they were chasing the game. But I said at the beginning of the show, we don't start the game strongly. We don't get on the front foot. We just wait for things to happen, and it allowed Swansea at the weekend just to come into the game and boss the pace. The pace of the game was far too slow. Yeah. Well, it's only when we're chasing things that it speeds up a little bit and we get it wide to Delafeu in space and get forward. Yeah. First half, I thought Delafeu was poor first half because the pace of the game just suited Swansea. They just came here and thought, I tell you what, we'll just sit back and play and keep the ball and let's see how Everton... And I always think that if you start well at Goodison and you get the crowd on your side, you've got a better chance of winning than not. But I just thought it was extremely quiet. It was like a practice game. They were just keeping the ball for the sake of keeping it. We were just sitting back, letting them do it. And I think we need to get out of the blocks a lot quicker than what we're doing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't know how true this fact is, game. You're totally right what you're saying, but we do it every game against Tottenham. Was exactly the same until he brought Besic on and changed our attitude. Mm. Not just the Tottenham, but Besic changed the attitude.
What, Watford at home, your first game of the season I went to, that was exactly the same.
Yeah.
Every game's the same. We don't play for 90, with the exception of maybe three or four games. We don't play 90 minutes.
Are you not alone?
Well, I know, but the problem we've got is, and I don't know through the stat, it was on Sky Sports today, we haven't had a shot on target in the first 15 minutes in a game since November. Mm. Do you know what, as Graeme said, we come out of the block slow, and we're always doing it.
That's an amazing stat, isn't it, if you think about that?
Sky today, not a shot in the first 15, on target. We've hit the roof a few times, but we've never had nothing on target in 15 minutes. But you know when in the you two are no better than anyone. When you're in the changing room, did the players not cheer themselves up? Mm. Because if I was an Everton player, knowing his tactics, I'd be all over everyone. Mm. Let's get this. Let's forget what he's telling us. Because what he's telling them is wrong.
Mm. It's but you're coming back to leaders, aren't you? You're coming back to people who would sort things out, not just in the dressing room, but on the pitch. And you just don't get them.
Yeah. Well, do you think we've got one? Because I don't. I like Jags as a centre-half.
Mm. Oh, no, it's just he needs to concentrate on the way he plays, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's not going to shout. He's not a Carragher. No. I don't even think Steven Gerrard was a shouter and ball. Like Carragher.
He was a doer, though, wasn't he? He was a
Gerrard was a doer. Yeah.
We haven't got either now.
No.
Neither have we, by the way.
Well, hello, but you look at Everton's team now, and everyone, even Liverpool supporters, it's the best team we've had since Graham was playing. Mm. And he's ruining a great team. Well, not a great team, it's a very good team, but he's ruining them. His tactics are disgusting. Mm. And I know Graham said it in the past, and I slightly disagree with Graham, where he said the players have got to stand up and be counted for. And I agree to a point, but he won't play them if they do. Mm. This then argued with him, he ended up training with the 17-year-olds. And personally, and I've agreed with Graham before on this, Morelos must have had an argument with him. Mm. Because if he's playing Kone instead of Morelos, then there's an issue there. And to let Stephen Naismith go, whether it was good money or not, because he cost nothing, keep Kone. I just don't understand the man's logic.
John, very quickly, what did your take on Jags not playing at the weekend, very quickly?
To be honest, I thought it was a joke, Graham. Mm. He's only played three games and then said that he needed the rest. Mm. So he's your captain, he's your leader. Yeah. Yeah. We need points. He may think it's a joke, but we're only 9 points above relegation.
Oh, I know.
And we've only won... I forgot the stats. Now, I had these all in my head before, but you get flustered when you go in here. I get so angry. But we're in a terrible situation. And I said to all my mates, we get beat by Swansea. We're in a relegation battle. And I mean it, because the next 10 games, we've got Arsenal, we've got about four that are winnable. And four that aren't, the way we're playing. But I wouldn't think we had four winnable.
Yeah. John, great passion. We've got to move on. We've got other people waiting to come on. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, John.
It's like one of those confession boxes where Sharpie's the monk. And then the person comes on and just rattles off.
And I don't mind that, because he speaks a lot of sense.
Oh, he did. Absolutely, with passion. And that's what you want.
And that's what they're worried about.
Okay, next one on then. Let's talk with Brian, who's a blue as well. Hiya, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sharpie.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. Just turn your radio down, Brian. Have you got it on?
You what, sorry?
If you got your radio on in the background, just turn it down. It's just echoing a little bit.
Sorry.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, mate. Go on, what's the point you want
to
make?
He was trying to listen to himself, Steve. Come on, don't be like that. This is a big moment.
It's just, I've got a point to make about the diving and stuff, but just quickly reiterate what the previous lad was just saying. I totally agree with him. I think Martin has had 2.5 years now. He won't change his tactics. He's stuck in the mud. Mm. And Stones' back pass with Howard was endemic of his tactics. Mm. You see the lad, he was in two minds. Does he hoof it up to the other end of the field where there's no danger? And he didn't. And because he was in two minds, bang. And we've seen it time and time again now. Mm. And I think Martinez's time's up. He's lost the crowd. It's quite obvious. Mm. And, you know, it's one of those. We'll see. the reason I phoned, I watched the Arsenal-Chelsea game yesterday. It's something that's been driving me insane for years. I've got all my boys playing football every weekend, and one of the things that drives me insane is watching kids 8, 9 years old taking dives, rolling around like they've been shot. And Costa yesterday, he's a disgrace. Yeah. He's not the only one. It is absolutely shambolic. Mm. And I think football needs to get a grip of these players.
Yeah.
I mean, to be truthful, I think Mertesacker's red card should be rescinded and Costa should have it. You know, it's just ridiculous. But I think players now, it doesn't have to impact on the live games at all. It doesn't have to be down to the referees. Why should it be? We've got cameras everywhere now, these Premier League and world stars. They're on TV, and you can see it clear as day whether they've dived or not.
The only problem, you know, with this, and we're all, I'm like you, yeah, in terms of the cameras, how many years did it take the authorities to persuade FIFA to put goal line technology? How many years was that?
I totally agree with you, Laura. But
you know what the problem? Do you know what the problem is? They actually said. I remember talking to this guy from FIFA, and he's saying, "Well, we're worried that television would run the game." Wake up! It's been running the game for 25 years. What's wrong with it?
Where's the money's coming from? It's running the game.
Of course, it is.
It provides the money for them to, you know, to pay the players £300 a week. Mm. But the thing is, these players, they're role models. They're influencing kids, and they're teaching kids to cheat. So if you're caught diving on the TV, you get a six game ban and you 2 week fine, and the money goes directly to the grassroots football of that local team, and they start teaching these kids, and they have the kids benefiting from these players. I guarantee it will stop in 6 months.
Brian, thank you very much indeed. Going to try and squeeze a couple more callers in. Have you got faith in Roberto?
In the moment, absolutely not.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Let's talk with Martin, who's in Easton. Hi, Martin.
All right, Steve. All right, Sharpie.
Hey, Martin.
Hiya. I'm not going to have a go at the players. I said that today because other people can do that. I mean, I thought people were a bit biased. There's people on Tim's back for no reason. It was totally fault for the penalty. It was to do hospital ball. What I'm saying is, me and the lad were saying yesterday when we come out, that we thought we'd witnessed the beginning of the end of the year, and it just felt strange, mate.
Hmm.
I don't know why. It just didn't.
Of what era? Like of what era, Martin?
Martinez's.
Right.
It just looked like we were witnessing the end, if you know what I mean, the beginning of the end.
Hmm.
It didn't feel. I mean, there was. I don't know what you thought.
Martin, what do you mean about the end of an era? What, are you expecting a managerial change? Or?
Yeah, I'm not saying it'll be this week or next week, but it looked like, to me and the lads, it just felt like, towards the end of David Moyes' time, all right, we all knew he was going, but it was the same type of feeling, if you know what I mean. There was nothing out there on the pitch to get people wound up, or very little. I mean, Gerry Delafeu was doing his best, God bless him, putting some cracking crosses in, but where Ron was and anyone following is beyond me. Even before that, it just felt, it looked like.
Okay, I'll tell you what, your line's really bad. Just hang on, Martin. Let Sharpie respond. Your line's quite bad, so Dave will chat to you one sec.
Flat. But, you know, that can change. That can change. So, and I know what the punters are like, and I can understand fully, but that can change. So what happens if they win at Man City on Wednesday?
And the FA Cup, Carlisle,
and then all of a sudden you're into, like, a run of games, and all of a sudden you can turn things around. But they need to turn things around. It's as simple as that. They need to turn. They need to have an upturn in the results, because they can't continue to go on having results that they're getting at this moment in time. That will inevitably lead to the end kind of thing. But the manager and the players will be believing that round the corner is the next win. But for me, they have to improve massively and take the game from the first whistle to the last, not just after 45
Wednesday's
minutes.
Massive for Everton, yeah.
Huge. Right, Martin, your phone line wasn't great. Sorry, we're struggling there. So let's just move on to Gary, who's in West Derby. Evening to you, Gary. How's things?
Hiya, Steve. Well, a lot worse than what you were at this time on Saturday night, let's put it that way. I'm obviously not happy. I've been on Martin as his side for all the time he's been at the club. Now I'm starting to lose patience like everyone else. The worrying thing for me on Sunday was I think he's now starting to lose the players, because I thought Everton's worst three players on Sunday was Lukaku, Stones and Barkley in the way they played the game. I know Graham said before you said about, you know, not getting the right balls in. Delafeu put a couple of balls into that box, Graham, and he wasn't switched on. For my opinion is he wasn't switched on. Now, I think these are the players that are having their heads and their ears burned by stories in the press, City, Barcelona, Real Madrid. Them three players for me were Everton's worst three players on Sunday. And I think now my fear is that he's going to lose the players now.
What were the crowd like at the end of the game, Sharpie? Were they... Nothing. No booing.
No, yeah, they booed. They weren't happy.
Oh, did they?
They weren't happy. Let's see, I can go. I think that Lukaku didn't have his best game at the weekend. He wasn't at it. I think he was bossed by the boy Ashley Williams, who's a good defender.
Straight up his straight,
yeah,
isn't he?
He's a good defender. I don't think he necessarily got the service. But I agree with you that, you know, I don't think the transfer thing, but these players will always be linked with moves away from the football club. That's a fact. Now, the only way we can keep these players is if we finish the season strongly and they can see hope and belief and optimism in the years to come. But even if they see that, the likes of Lukaku being here at Everton next year is going to be very, very rare, especially if he has a decent run in the Euros. He's got a reputation as it has at this moment in time.
I don't think he'll even need a decent run.
No.
I think someone will come and take him.
Yeah, well, yeah. So I just think at this moment in time, I thought Ross Barkley, I didn't think was that bad on Sunday, I'll be honest with you. But I agree with... Yeah, he does, but I think he still gives you the... He gives you something.
He makes things happen,
does
he?
He does, and he makes mistakes, we know that kind of thing, but I didn't think it was bad. But I just thought Rom, you know, apart from the last couple of games, I thought he's been good for us, and without his goals, that's a worry for me, without his goals... We would have been in serious trouble.
Gary, what's it mean if Everton win midweek? What would it mean to you personally? Would you sort of ease off the manager, or do you think it's going to take quite a while?
Well, obviously the pressure that leaves on Martinez, and it will mean, like, it will mean to every Evertonian the absolute world to go to a cup final and have a chance of picking up some silverware, because obviously we've been starved of it. But, you know, I'll just speak for me. We've got a fantastic squad of players, and we're the biggest underachievers, probably just outside of Chelsea this season. We're the biggest underachievers in the Premier League. Yeah.
Gary, got to finish you there. We've got to finish the show. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, good point,
hey,
Gary.
Laura, have you enjoyed just sort of listening?
I tell you what,
I've enjoyed Laura's company.
I'll tell you something, my right ear's bleeding here.
Bless you. Bless
it. Well, they're all anti, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're all passionate.
They've all made the points, actually.
Yeah, and I prefer to hear the passion. They're really good points as well, though, aren't they?
I'm not being funny, Steve. If you pay your money and go every home game...
Every right?
Absolutely, of course you've got every right. Of course you've got.
OK. Laura's in his training gear. He can go and have another workout.
He's running
back
home.
The gym.
I'm running away.
Sharp is battered. Thank you very much, Mark Lawrence and Graeme Sharp. Legends is back Friday night. See you then.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Save up to £8,000 on a brand new delivery mileage BMW.